this series of looking at the fact that although we're all individuals together with the body of Christ, and Louise looked last week at a passage in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church looking at how that body should operate, and she used that passage to challenge us to consider how we might serve, where we might serve, not if we might serve. The body needs all the different parts to function effectively. Every single part needs to be functioning for a body to be well and to do what God intended it to do. And as a church, that's exactly what we are. We're a body with lots of different parts, lots of different skills and abilities. And if everybody plays their part, the body will be effective. And the passage we've heard today is from Paul's letter to the Roman church, using exactly the same imagery. And what I want to try and explore through this passage today is not where might you serve, how might you serve, but actually, how do I identify my gift? Before you can decide where you might serve, how do I know what it is I should be doing? How do I know what it is God's equipped me to do in this church, in this body, at this time, in this place? And it's not easy, is it? Because most of us find it difficult to recognize our own giftings, our own strength. It's easy to think, I've got nothing to offer. I haven't got any particular strengths. I haven't got anything particular I think would be of use to the body of Christ. And yet we know from Scripture that God has given each one in the body a gift. We're told God has gifted each one of us to play our part in the body. And it will be unique. So even if you don't think you're anything special, there's something unique about you. You're the only one who's lived your life, had your experiences, and you will have something to offer. God will have equipped you to do something. But it'll all be different. All different, because we're all unique. We're all different from one another. We don't want a body that's all eyes, all ears, or all arms, or whatever it might be. We don't want a body. That would be grotesque, to have a body that was all the same things. And it wouldn't function at all. It would simply be grotesque. So that's why we're all given these different gifts. I told you, quite honestly, the stuff I'm useless at. You know, 30-odd years in this church, never lifted a finger in many areas of the church's life, because that's not what God's gifted me to do. But he's gifted somebody to do it. Thank God we do have musicians, we do have sound people, we do have computer people, we do have F&P people who can fix things. Thank God. God's brought those people here. But the body's only going to work properly if the people who are equipped to do those things do those things. And that's the challenge over these few weeks, really, is just to ask people, what one of the worst things you can do when you're up front is make people feel guilty. And the aim of these talks is not at all to make people feel guilty, oh, I'm not doing enough. It's to simply say, pray about what God might want you to do. That's all. Pray about what you think what God might want you to do. And if you get a sense of what that might be, do it and we'll have a healthy body. I'm just going to read the first five verses that were read. They're the ones I'm going to concentrate on. So Romans 12, starting at verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And it can be easy to be intimidated by passages like that, be overwhelmed by it. You know, again, focusing on what you can't do. Oh, I couldn't do that. I'm not clever enough, or I'm not articulate enough, or I'm not bold enough, or whatever it might be that you think you're not. It's easy to put that stuff in the way, isn't it, and say, oh, I couldn't do any of that. But let me tell you a secret. It's not really a secret, but I'll tell you anyway. Everybody who does upfront stuff, leading a service, preaching, music, whatever it is, they all start from the point, I can't do that. That's where we all start. I can't do that. That's where I start. I would never have thought of doing this, except other people came and said, have you ever thought of? And I thought, no. Have you? And yeah, because we often think, I can't do that. And you're right often at the beginning of a process, you can't. But are you equipped to be able to do it? I loved a sign I saw in a church in Watford, Soul Survivor Church in Watford, says, God doesn't send the equipped, God equips the sent. So when you say, oh, yes, Lord, I'll do that, he equips you. He doesn't wait for you to be equipped before you say, I'll do it. Because nobody would ever start anything. If you waited till you knew everything before you got up to preach, or you could play every instrument before you got in the band, nobody would start. You start at the point where you think, I can't do this. It's where we all start. So that's not a bad, if you're thinking, I couldn't do any of these things that have just been read out. Even if you're right, it doesn't mean you're not going to be equipped at some point to do it. And that's what we're trying to encourage people. Pray about it, think about it, get a sense of where God might want you to serve, so that this body in this place is a healthy, functioning body. And we're able to do what our purpose is. And just to reiterate our purpose, because the more you repeat it, the more people really get to grips with it. The purpose that the elders identified for this church is that we want to grow a relevant, Christ-like church that serves our community. That's our purpose. To do that, we need to be a healthy, functioning church. And we need people to recognize their giftings and then to use their giftings to do what it is they've been equipped to do. I'm going to look at three gifts in particular from that passage. And it might surprise you, the three I'm going to look at, because they're not the glamorous ones, not the upfront ones. I'm going to look at encouragement, generosity, and hospitality. And you might think, well, why are you picking on them three? Well, I'll tell you why I'm picking on encouragement. Encouragement is the soil in which everything grows. Everything. People who've got gifts that they don't recognize them when they're encouraged. It's the soil, it's the roots. If we can practice encouragement as a church, people will find their giftings. People may then use their giftings and the whole body is strengthened. Encouragement is so important. I was encouraged this morning when I walked in and saw Richard with his guitar. I went, wow, because Richard is going to help the music. We need help with the music. We've got a small number of gifted musicians, but we need more. And what an encouragement that is to see somebody to come and use a gift that God's given them. And there'll be people here, and there'll be people watching online who might be able to serve in some way. But they might need encouraging. Encouragement is so important. You can encourage people by affirming them in what they're already doing. You can say, I really think what you do is important. I'm really blessed when you do this, or whatever it might be. However it is people are serving, if they're encouraged and affirmed in what they're doing, they'll do it better. It's human nature. You get a lift and you grow when people say, you know what, that was really good. Encouragement in affirming people in what they're already doing. But encouragement also in letting people see maybe opportunities that they've not noticed or not realized. Somebody said to me, have you ever thought of preaching? Yeah, you could say, have you ever thought of whatever it might be, children's work, music, it doesn't matter. You know, doing the tea and the coffee, you've got such a lovely smiley face, you'd be wonderful welcoming people into the... Encourage people. Have you thought about, I think you're really good at. It's the soil in which people grow. So let me just challenge you this morning. Are you an encourager? Is this an encouraging church? Is this a church that encourages? I say, broadly speaking, yes, I feel this is a church that encourages, but there's always room for improvement. We could always be better. And if we encourage each other, people will find their giftings and hopefully will then use their giftings. And the church and the body as a whole will be strengthened. And what we want to do is not be a lovely, warm, happy church. We want to impact our community. That's why we want to be a strong church. Not just so as we have a nice time together on a Sunday, which is lovely to have a nice time together on a Sunday, but we want to impact our community. We want to be a relevant church that impacts our community. So encouragement, I honestly think it's so important that I don't speak any foreign languages. There's another thing I can't do. But I believe the word encouragement from the French, there's a literal translation, which is to give a bigger heart to. Isn't that a lovely picture? That when you encourage somebody, you're giving them a bigger heart to do whatever. So you encourage them to do something, you're giving them a bigger heart to do something. And that is what happens. If people come up and tell you you were really blessed, you did this really well, you feel you've got a bigger heart. You grow, it helps, and it motivates you to do it again. And it possibly motivates you to do it even better next time. Encouragement is the soil in which things grow. Let's really try as a church to focus on that. Generosity is the other one. Now, before I was a Christian, because half my life I wasn't, before I was a Christian, I used to think churches were fixated on money. One of the things that put me off church, churches just want your money. Generosity does not have to do with money. It can. If you are able to be generous with money, that's a good thing. It's a scriptural thing to be generous with money if you can. But not everybody can. People's circumstances are totally different. Some people cannot be generous with money. But we can be generous with our time, and we can be generous with our attitude. And I think that's a particularly important one. Attitude of heart. Are you generous of nature? Do you give people the benefit of the doubt? Or do you assume the worst? When you've got half a story about somebody, do you assume the worst? Do you give them the benefit of the doubt? One of my jobs when I was working, I was a lecturer in management studies, and we used to give lectures on different facets of management, and one of them was how managers have different attitudes to new members of staff. When you know nothing about people, you make assumptions, we all do, it's just human nature. And there's almost a dichotomy, two camps. One camp of managers faced with a new member of staff would say, until I see evidence to the contrary, I'm going to assume they're hardworking, honest, they'll come in on time, etc. And the other camp say, until I see evidence to the contrary, I'm going to assume these people are lazy, need supervising, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the research bears this out, by the way. There are these two camps, and they're fairly evenly split in terms of management style. And it's to do with assumptions. It's not to do with evidence. Most sensible managers based with evidence would say, he's lazy, he works hard, she's lazy, whatever. You know, on evidence, you use your common sense. But it's the assumptions you make when you've got no evidence. And I remember on one of my courses, one morning at 9 o'clock, somebody hadn't turned up. And one guy said, oh, he was drinking a bit last night. He'll be in bed sleeping it off. In other words, he's skiving. He's just not bothered, he's skiving. Other guy said, no. He said, he's really enjoying this course. He'd be here if he could. If he's not here, there's a problem. I think we should go and check. You know, totally different response to identical set of circumstances. They had the same information. One guy said, he's skiving. The other guy said, no, he's not skiving. There's something wrong here. He was unwell. He wasn't skiving. That was the when we got the facts. But what assumptions do you make about people when you haven't got any evidence or little evidence? Are you somebody who assumes the best of people? Are you someone who assumes the worst of people? If you hear things on a bit of a gossipy thing, you think, ooh, you know, and give it credence. Or do you say, nah, they're not like that? I'm sure that's probably not true because they're not like that. What assumptions do you make? Are you generous of heart? Do you give people the benefit of the doubt? Are you generous with your time? Are you generous with your money, if you can be? Generosity is a gift. And I think the generosity of spirit and attitude is such an important one. Do you give people the benefit of the doubt, or do you assume the worst? And the third gift I was going to look at was hospitality. It says in verse 13, practice hospitality. Now, hospitality doesn't have to mean you invite half the church around to your house for a barbecue this afternoon. It can mean that. If you've got a big house and a big barbecue and you want to do it, it might mean that. But it doesn't have to be lavish. It doesn't have to include a lot of people. Hospitality can be a cup of tea or a glass of water with one other person. Hospitality is about, again, an attitude of mind. Are you somebody who wants to draw people in, talk to them, find out about them, get to know them better? Is that an attitude of mind you have? Or do you just live in your bubble and other people live in their bubbles? These are things everybody can do. Encouragement, generosity and hospitality. So why am I picking them out? I mean, we should all be doing this anyway. Well, these are gifts that God gives some people as a specific gift. And you probably all know people who are specifically good, very good at encouraging. People who are very good at generosity. People who are very good at hospitality. People will have been gifted by God in a special way to be particularly strong in those areas. So, yes, everybody here this morning and everybody watching should be all these things as often as we can. But some will be specially gifted. And we know them, don't we? I mean, I know people. I could look in each one of these categories and think, yes, yes, yeah, I know people like that. Like that. Specially gifted. So what I'm hoping we can do this morning as we look at these gifts, and we've only looked at three. There's loads of gifts. There were gifts in the passage in Corinthians last week, and there's gifts in this passage in Romans. Look at them yourselves. Think about them. Pray about them. Where can you serve? With the body of Christ for a purpose, to grow a relevant Christ-like church that serves our community. But we'll only be that church if we use our giftings, if we identify our giftings and then use them. That's the only way we'll become that church. When you're thinking about where you might serve, could I just say, you've heard me say already, I love Alpha, I love Fellowship. What do you love? What do you love doing? You know, I love small group work. I don't know what it is. I just like Alpha and Fellowship Group because you're in a small group and you're talking about things and you're having discussions, and I just find that stimulating. What excites you? What do you love? Do you love working with young people? Do you love working with children? Do you love music? Do you like making cups of tea? Are you a very practical person who would like to, you know, make sure the church is always in good condition? All that sort of stuff. What do you love doing? Because I think that's where God prompts us. What do you love doing? God's saying, do it. That's what you love doing. Go and do it. And if everybody finds what they love to do and then does it, the body just gets stronger. And even in those areas that Kath said, you know, where we haven't got vacancies at the moment, sometimes if we've got people saying, you know, I'd like to do that, it might release somebody who's already doing that to do something that they might love better. So, you know, it might well be that there's some square pegs in round holes at the moment. And by people saying, well, I still like to do that, even though there's no vacancies there, maybe there's a square peg in a round hole there who could go somewhere else and fit better. We were told last week that 50% of the jobs in the church were done by 15 people, was it, Kath? Yeah, 15 people doing over 50% of the jobs in the church, the majority of whom were over 60, and a few, including me, over 70. So you can see the need, because it just self-evidently isn't right, is it? That over 50% of the jobs in the church are done by 15 people. It isn't right. I almost wanted to start this service by coming up, you know, with a walking stick or something and saying, you know, help, help. But I'm retired and I'm in relatively good health, so I'm fine doing what I'm doing at the moment. I'm not actually in a position where I'm needing help. But I'm 74, and so common sense just says it can't go on forever, and it won't go on forever. And we need people to be thinking about, can I be doing this? Can I be doing that? And that's what these series of talks are really all about. I was so encouraged last week. I was told that after last week's service, people were encouraged to pick up one of these, and you're encouraged again to do it this week if you haven't already done it. These cards are in the foyer and around for you to say, I would love to serve at West Kirby. And then somebody will get back to talk to you about possibly where and what. Last week, we got 9 of these back. Now, when you think, we were told last week, 15 people are doing 50%, and then you get 9 more, that's encouraging. I'm encouraged. And the competitive bit of me says, I want more than 9 today. We got 9 last week, I want 10. But no, it doesn't matter if we get 1 or 2. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Yeah, what we just want is growth. We want people praying about where can I serve? What's God blessed me with? What abilities have I got? What do I love doing? And can I do it here in some way?